Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You all right? I hope you are. Me? What, me? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, no, cheers. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I'm good. Okay, it is just 6 past 8 in the a.m. British summertime, on Monday, the 6th of July, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band that chose a few, my band of brothers and sisters. The very best among us, basically. Being up bright and early in the a.m. to watch Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club, don't you forget about me. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Can't ask for any more than that. Love it. Or if you're in other parts of the world, it's not even the morning, is it? Well, in America, it's really late at night, isn't it? Or whatever. Thanks for joining us. Come on, wakey wakey, eggs and bakey. Come on, the day's half over. Let's get on with it. Come on. Monday, Monday. Another day, another dollar, another chance to put right what once went wrong. As always, I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. Are you in the UK and you're tired from staying up all night or getting up insanely early to watch the football? I'm not. I went to bed at a normal time, got up at a normal time. It all happened while I was asleep. Used to be a massive football fan, but just... if we get to the semi-final or the final, I'll watch it all and get proper excited and everything. I'll warn you this. I know the glorious band that shows for you don't like football. But if England do win the World Cup, I'll talk about it at least for 5-10 minutes that day. Or the day after, rather. Be warned. But I'll keep it to a minimum. Today is a bit of a football day because we just had a game. It's all in the legacy corporation. I mean, look. Well, the headlines in the actual papers. Hangover of God. I'll explain that in a moment. But look, the main websites. It was too late to go to print. It's not in any of the front pages because they went to print long before it actually happened. But look, all the news. It's all the news. It's all football. It's all football. So should we get it out of the way first? Just a few moments. Honestly, just a few moments. Because it is the main thing in the news cycle today. England played Mexico in the last 16. And they won 3-2. Jude Bellingham scored 2 in quick succession. Then they scored 1. Then we got a penalty. Then they got a penalty. There was a red card. It was an exciting game by all accounts. Again, I didn't watch it. But we won 3-2. And it was in that stadium in Mexico where, if you're old enough to remember and or like football, in 1986, Maradona, the Argentine legend, who's now passed away, did a handball against Peter Shilton. Harry wouldn't know. In 1986, in a quarterfinal, England lost to Argentina. Maradona jumped up with the goalkeeper to do a header, and just to get ahead of the header, he hit it with his hand, and it went in. Handball, completely legal, but the ref didn't see it, apparently, and the goal stood, and we lost the game and got knocked out of the World Cup. The hand of God, Maradona's little hand of God. His little Jeremy Beadle's a tiny man winning Maradona. It was in that stadium, the hand of God. So now it's the hangover of God. It's clever, isn't it? It's clever what they've done there. The hangover of God, because hangover is very, very, very close to the word hand. Hand, hangover. So anyway, they're saying one of the big stories is, and I'll move on after this, don't worry about it. Is that because it was supposed to start at 1 a.m. our time, it actually started at 2 a.m. because there was thunder and lightning. They can't let them play these days if there's thunder and lightning. Health and safety. So it didn't start till 2. So it only finished a few hours ago. Anyway, that's it. England are through to the quarterfinals. We'll play Norway. Norway beat Brazil. That Haaland, he's really good. And you can't stop him scoring goals, that Haaland fella. Son of Alfinger Haaland, who Roy Keane ended his career by breaking his leg deliberately. Remember that? Anyone? No? We've got to play Norway next. We could beat them. But then probably Argentina and then probably France in the final. So still a long way to go. Still a big ask. All right, that's it. It's on the front pages, but I'll skip over it. I've done it now. It's out of the way. All right, the Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Yeah, a lot of the pages go with the Farage story today, particularly some of the more sloppy tabloids. Okay, so here we go. Reform leader defiant after claims of financial links to a convicted criminal. Farage, this is a hit job. I've done nothing wrong. Oh, it's a hit job, is it? Yeah, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club, Hypnotoad. Like it's anything new to Farage to be the subject of a hit job. Well, I said it before and I'll say it again. This is either all these things about Nigel's personal finances, a bit of a thorn in his side, because that's his limited company, isn't it? Thorn in the side limited or something. That's his company. Anyway, begins to be a bit of a thorn in Nigel's side, his personal finances. It's either a complete nothing burger and he really has done nothing wrong, which is totally possible as well. I mean, it could well just end in that. It's just nothing. Or this does destroy him, his political career. We'll have to see. That's all I can say. Just have to see. I completely reserve judgment until the investigation is done. And even then, even when you've been investigated by someone, whatever, the police, whatever, sometimes it's still a stitch-up job, isn't it? Anyway, the latest thing is, like the third or fourth thing for Nigel, is someone called George Cottrell, Posh George, they're calling him, a youngish dude in his 30s, some sort of multi-millionaire, and he is a convicted criminal in the US. It was money laundering or wire fraud, they call it in the US, don't they? Wire fraud. Well, it was. Nowadays, I think he's at some sort of betting website, but he's been involved in all sorts of businesses. And at some point, a few years back, some FBI agents, I believe this is a story. If I get any of these details, I've said slightly wrong, apologies, but this is what I read. It's what I can recall from reading it yesterday. Some FBI agents undercover went to him and said, can you launder money for us? We'll give you a bunch of money. You run it through your accounts and your businesses and then give it back to us, or most of it back to us. And he, which is just completely legal, money laundering, like, you know, layering, whatever. And he said, yes. And they were like, right, gotcha, we're the FBI. And that dude's quite a close friend of Nigel. I mean, really quite close. Like on the night of the Brexit result, he's like literally standing next to Farage, and loads of times there's pictures of Nigel out, you know, out and about. And this guy, Posh George, is next to him. And what else? Apparently he rented a house near Buckingham Palace and Nigel stayed there a couple of times. Not since he's been an MP, but nonetheless. A couple of times this same guy, Posh George, gave Reform some money. Like one time he gave him $9,000, and then another time he gave him like $14,000 or $15,000. But nothing necessarily illegal about any of this. Might be kind of bad optics that Nigel stayed in the house of a fraudster, accepted relatively small amounts of money from a fraudster, convicted criminal. I mean, he went to prison for 8 months in America. They wanted to put him on, charge him with like 10 or 20 crimes, financial crimes, but he made some sort of plea and could go to prison for 20 years. He made some sort of plea deal and went to prison for 8 months. Okay. You are allowed to be friends with someone that has been convicted of like wire fraud. It's allowed. There's nothing illegal in that, is there? The question is, like all the rest of Nigel's, the thorn in Nigel's side, is really, the crux of it is, did Nigel declare all the right things in the right time, in the right way? It's more about that. Not that you're not allowed to be his friend. It's that, should Nigel have declared the bits of money and things he got from this guy? And was there anything expected in return? Don't know. I'll wait for the investigation. I'm not prepared to just completely start saying, Nigel did X, Y, Z, Nigel, blah, 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 blah. Just wait and see, I'd say. But a lot of the papers are going with it. Look, the Express, the Metro. Crackdown on party donors amid row over Posh George. Look, there's Posh George. The Guardian, crackdown on donations as Farage faces a new gift row. That half Haitian, half Japanese woman beat the number one seed in tennis. She might go on to win Wimbledon, you might think. Women's Wimbledon. The Mirror, they hate Nigel, don't they? Real bad, real bad. I mean, I'm not a fan, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and stuff. But they don't. Yet more questions. Farage and Con's cash. Convict's cash. There's Posh George's mugshot Okay. Okay. All right. So there you go. So that's basically that story. They wheeled out Robert Jenrick yesterday on Sunday morning in Britain. Sunday morning, there's a lot of political shows, aren't there? Like Laura Koenigsberg or Trevor Phillips or whatever. They wheeled out Jenrick to go, nothing, no rules have been broken. Nigel's done nothing wrong. Da, 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 da. It comes down to, I think, it's fair to say, I suppose, it boils down to one of the rules is that you're supposed to declare anything even 12 months before you become an MP. And so quite often reform seems to be saying, Nigel wasn't even an MP. And it's like, yeah, we know, because the rules are 12 months beforehand as well, though. I just think wait until the actual parliamentary sort of standards investigation, whatever it is, comes to some sort of conclusion. Again, it'll either be a complete nothing burger, it is simply nothing more than a hit piece from his political enemies, or it's a full-blown scandal and Nigel might have to face a by-election in Clacton, or just stand down and slink away, go off and live in America and make loads more money like he's always wanted to. We'll see. We shall see on that. All right. Hangover of God, yeah. Apparently loads of people in Britain aren't going to turn up to work today because they were up all night watching the footy ball. Oh, look, there's Maradona's hand of God. Look, can you see that? Look, there's Peter Shilton, 1986 World Cup, yeah. Peter Shilton, England goalie, just about to save it. Maradona goes up for a header. He's obviously not going to get there. Shilton's going to get there first. So Maradona puts his dirty little cheek, puts his hand up there and handballs it in. The hand of God. The hangover of God. All right, you get it. The Sun. How's the hangover? All right, okay. Because the result hadn't happened when they went to print. All right, here's another proper story. Let's get back to the actual story. Financial Times. Ayatollah's funeral. Vast crowds mourn late Iran leader, but successor stays out of sight. Yeah, so it's just... The old Ayatollah Khomeini finally, or his remains. Is there anything really left? I don't know. I sort of got the impression he was blown to smithereens. Maybe not. Anyway, you can have a coffin even if there's not really anything in it, can't you? There's like a tiny charred bit of a hunk of flesh, like a bit of brisket. Okay, so they had that, and... yeah, his successor, his son, wasn't there. He's either dead himself or crazily wounded. Otherwise, they would have trotted him out by now. Some said he lost a leg, maybe both legs, certainly one leg, it seems like. And that maybe his face, there was reports out there that his face is all burnt up, or that he's lost his lips, was one report. So... he probably looks terrible. He probably looks like if he's even alive, probably looks like a terrible, terrible burns victim, like missing limbs and stuff. So obviously the optics of that are terrible, aren't they? So they just don't ever show him. If he's even alive. All right, that's in the news today. The Ayatollah's funeral, the old Ayatollah. Okay, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, thing about football. All right. Trump threatens NATO over defence. Okay, it's a big... NATO summit this week in Ankara, I believe. In Turkey, of course, in the middle of Turkey. Starmer's there. One of the stories coming out this morning, or last night, was that he's just basically sidelined. Like, everyone there knows that he's only going to be Prime Minister for another, like, 2 weeks. Is it if that? On a bang on about 2 weeks. So his power, his authority is already over, really, isn't it? Basically. I mean, he can still do stuff. Technically, he can still ring up an admiral or the captain of a nuclear sub and tell him to fire a nuke, technically. But, yeah. In reality, power has ebbed away from him. And everyone knows that. And so, at the NATO summit, there's just people saying that he's just sidelined. People are not interested in sitting down, having a working lunch with him or anything. Or if he says anything in a committee or a meeting, people are like, okay, mate, yeah, all right, pipe down. We're just waiting for your successor now. Okay. President warns allies must spend more or face consequences on eve of summit. I mean, that is what the Americans and Trump have been saying the whole time, haven't they? So they're not changing their tune on that. I mean, the ball is really in the United States' court on all of this, isn't it? They can only sort of cajole the European nations, the European members of NATO so far. And if the European nations just simply refuse to spend the amount of money the United States want, what can you do? You can sort of pour scorn, someone like Trump or Rubio or whatever, can pour scorn on them, or they can actually, you know, do something profound, you know, like pull out of NATO entirely, or they'll just say, right, if you don't spend much money, we won't spend much money then. How'd you like that? Anyway, it's just an ongoing thing, isn't it? It's always been the case. I've been reading recently, or on and off for quite a few weeks, actually, about the Clement Attlee government on the state of politics. State of politics. I'm going to do a video all about the Attlee years. And in that, in the late 40s, i.e. NATO's really new, or the early 50s, rather, the early 50s, the Korean War, Clement Attlee decided he was going to get involved in the Korean War, even though we couldn't really afford it. Our own country's bankrupt, and there was ration cards and everything. True austerity. He still decided Britain needs to be involved in the Korean War. Loads of British troops fought and died in Korea in the 50s. Even then, from inception, the United States are complaining, I mean, rightly so from their point of view, complaining that all the other NATO countries aren't spending enough. It's been the story of NATO the whole time. America saying, you guys have got to spend more. We can't just prop you up. But then, what, 70 years later? 80-odd years later? 70. Knocking 80. Still the same old story. So, okay. Tories offer PM solution to deport a Rochdale ringleader. I mean, not really. Police must stop engaging in woke culture wars, report said. Yeah, good one. I wonder if the Dame Lawrence, Stephen Lawrence's mother, I wonder if she's happy now. Happy now, Mrs. Lawrence? The police are completely anti-racist to the point of just arresting white people, even if they're the one getting beaten up. Happy now? No, of course you won't be. Never enough. Nothing's ever enough. Until we're wiped from the face of the earth, nothing is ever enough. The Times. The venerable Times. Inside Taylor Swift's Uber webbing. Don't care. Wedding. Don't care. Don't care one bit. Want an eco-friendly home? It'll take 25 years to cover the costs. Don't care. No, I don't want an eco-home. No. Because the whole narrative is nonsense. PM facing NATO rebuke from Trump at summit. One of the last things, well, the last thing really Starmer's going to do on the world stage is this summit. And he's just going to get basically bawled out by Trump and ignored by everyone else. There's a lot about his premiership, doesn't it? That's what it is. A failure. Starmer to be sidelined after defence funding row. He's going to have to go there saying, yeah, we said we would increase our defence budget by 15 billion, but actually we haven't got any money. It's not going to go down well with the Donald, is it? England's bunk off after staying up for cup. You know, as far as I don't know, bunk off just means like skipping school. Like you bunked school or you bunked work. Calling in a fake sickie or whatever. Loads of people going to bunk off work because they're up all night and perhaps even drinking. Okay. The Mail. Oh, Adele's been seen in public. Adele rarely goes out in public, but she has done. Hello, Adele in rare public appearance at Silverstone. Who cares? Silverstone, no, there was the British Grand Prix on Sunday. Charles Leclerc won it, a Frenchman, for Ferrari. Lewis Hamilton came third. So, on the podium again. All right, you guys don't care about F1. Okay. NHS threats. NHS treats dementia patients as second-class citizens. They treat everyone as a second-class citizen. They treat everyone as an exercise in getting you gone, getting you off their list. That's how they treat everyone, yeah. Furious Alzheimer's Society boss who says families are sent home with just a leaflet. Sounds about right, yeah. You go in there with nearly any ailment, unless you're actually, like, bleeding out. You go in there like oh well, dunno, anyway, go home. It's utterly broken. The NHS is crazily broken. Considering how much money we spend on it, if it was one of those things where it was insanely underfunded, it would make a bit more sense why it's so terribly broken. Why the outcome, and I'm not just saying that, right? We know the data's in that the health outcomes are really, really bad on the NHS. One of the worst in the world, in the developed first world, at least. Now, if it was crazily underfunded, that would be one thing. That would make sense. But it's not crazily underfunded. We're ruining our economy in order to fund it to quite a high level. And yet still, it just doesn't work properly at all for most people, most of the time. Number of people who have had botched operations or even died is mad. I keep saying, oh, this hospital here has done some failings. This hospital there one time has done some failings. No, it's nearly all of it, all the time. Remember that just the other day, there was a hospital, where was it, in the Midlands or Nottingham or something, where something like 500 people had died, they found. 500? Isn't that like a killing machine, then? 500, not 5. Not 50. 50 would be mental, wouldn't it? 500. There's some sort of death machine doing the exact opposite of helping people and saving people. Latest one. Dementia patients, apparently. All right, the eye paper, they go with something slightly different, or they've got Farage on there. Farage faces another sleaze investigation. Okay. He may or may not have done anything wrong. He may not have done. It is a bit suspicious, though. Remember when it was in the news at the end of last week? There was a few headlines, wasn't there, that rumours out of the Nigel camp, people, a source close to Mr. Farage says, all that stuff. But he does fear that he might have to face a by-election, i.e. that these investigations into him will come back negatively from his point of view. I hold judgment. All right. Weight loss pills from chemists, but not on the NHS until 2028. I won't even bother reading the blurb. That's really all it is. There's new weight loss drugs. They're calling this new one, what is it? Wegovy. Not heard of that until today, until this morning. These Wegovy drugs. And some of them, or a lot of them, are for legit reasons, like people with diabetes. Like, you need to lose weight ASAP because you've got diabetes, or you've got insane, really, really bad heart disease. You're going to have a stroke or a heart attack imminently unless you lose loads of weight. For those people, right? Okay, fine. Good, even, right? I mean, you shouldn't have eaten yourself into that sort of state, but whatever. Legit medicines that they worry that it will just be used for cosmetic reasons on the NHS. People just go in and they're like, they're not actually insanely unhealthy. They've not got terrible heart disease or diabetes or anything. They're just like, I want to be a bit slimmer, but I can't stop eating cake and pie. Can you give me drugs for that? Just stop eating cake and pie and biscuits all the time. Do a bit of exercise. All right, they're the front pages. There you go. Do you have a look at our poll? We usually do a look at our poll today. I don't even know what it was, because this morning, me and Harry just asked you guys in the chat, getting more and more interactive, if anything. We asked you guys in the chat, we've done that two or three times before, haven't we? What would you like the poll to be today? Because quite often I have noticed the chat aren't happy with the poll. Like, what slop poll is this? What dumb question that was. Like, your poll doesn't even make sense or whatever. Right, so we asked you guys, so I don't know what it's going to be. I really don't know what it's going to be. So this is new to me. I'm reading it in real time for the first time. Here we go. Do you think this is a hit job on Farage? Okay. 72% of you say yes. Okay, so the eyes have it. 28% say no. It does feel like that. I mean, if it does turn out that it is proper corruption, these people, whether it was George Cottrell or that Christopher Harbaugh, expected something in return. But at the moment, it does just look a bit like, doesn't it? Various elements, various people don't want Farage, even though he is still part of the WEF containment machine. He's not enough of one for them. So he must be destroyed. does feel a bit like a hit job, but there you go. That's the game. That's what everything. Everyone has a hit job done against them. Everyone, right? From the lowliest person, right? Even me. I'll take something out of context. I said about bloody Edward Longshanks. And it'll be the front of some front page of some socialist rag in Scotland. Even me. So of course Farage. People gunning for him big time. Of course. I mean, I remember when I was back in Reform, when I was the candidate for Swindon South, there was another lady who was the candidate for somewhere else in Wiltshire, nearby, one of the neighbouring, might even have been Swindon North. And she'd done base, right, really nothing. At least I had penned a really spicy opinion, right? And I've been all over the internet saying spicy stuff, right? So fair enough. If that was too spicy for Richard Tice's palate, it is what it is, fair enough. But she'd liked a Tommy Robinson tweet. Or maybe, I can't remember the exact details, maybe she'd replied under a Tommy tweet going, yeah, I agree with Tommy. Something like that. It was the absolute minimal thing ever. She got deselected. Without being rude to her, I don't mean this to be rude to her, but she's like a nobody really, right? So, yeah, they'll do it to nobodies. Absolute nobodies. So, yeah, Nigel's the target of hit pieces. All right, should we move on then? What else have we got in the news? There was one thing, at least one thing I thought was of interest. We'll have to scroll past the footy ball, as it is the top of all the things. Oh, just real quick to say, where Brazil got knocked out. Later today, Spain and Portugal play each other in the knockout round. So one of them will be out as well. One of the other big hitters will be out as well. That's all. Here we go. Look, Marine Le Pen appeal verdict. Why this moment matters. A little bit of French politics. Could be a pivotal thing for France. So she was convicted of, I think the actual conviction was like a type of fraud. And the story is, well, I'll just paraphrase it for you. I'll just pass it for you. Over a number of years, quite a few number of years, she spent money, or whether it was her or just she greenlit other people to do it, she greenlit money on the wages of parliamentary aides, French parliamentary aides, so that they then became effectively full-blown partisans for National Rally, her party. And, like, that's not allowed. So it's not like she embezzled the money and put it in her own pocket and bought a motorhome with it and went on holiday with it, but nonetheless. And a lot of her detractors say that was all trumped up anyway. That was like completely unfair. But anyway, well, in France, their law affair. A lot of the French establishment despise the Le Pens and National Rally. You know, like loads of people in Germany hate the AFD. Loads of people hate Nigel and Rupert and all that, of course. Right? The left tried to destroy her. Anyway. Eventually it went through the courts and she was found guilty and she was given like 4 years imprisonment, but 3 of those years are suspended and one of them shown has to wear an electronic tag on her ankle and barred from office, high office, for like 10 years or something. Does feel like a massive stitch-up job, doesn't it? But okay, that happened, but she has an appeal, right? You get a right to appeal. As if you say the trial, the original trial wasn't fair, the judge was biased, you know, you get an appeal. So now, I think tomorrow, that appeals process comes to an end, and we'll probably have the result for you guys on Wednesday morning, I imagine. And it is just simply whether her career or her aspirations to be, not her career, sorry, her aspirations to actually run for and be president of France. It just completely hangs on that. If the appeals judge says, no, I uphold the original thing of the trial, and you're barred, legally barred from holding office for 10 years odd, then she will not be able to run for it next time. I mean, if that happens, her deputy will, Jordan Bardella, it'll be someone called Jordan Bardella. If the appeals judge says No. It was a bad, fake, terrible injustice type trial, and I overturn it or whatever, or at least rescind part of the sentence that says you can't hold high office, or the electronic tag. Apparently Marine Le Pen just said, if I have to wear an electronic tag, even, it's over. Well, at least for this election, it's over. I'm not going to actually run for president because for various reasons. So, possibly, probably, the exact future of French politics stands in the balance a bit. Certainly as far as Marine Le Pen is concerned. All right, did you have anything else? The football. That's that Haaland fella. You can't stop him scoring goals. You can't. He's too big and powerful and good. You know, one of those people when they're in their prime, like Ronaldo, not Cristiano Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, or also Cristiano Ronaldo. Some people, you just can't stop them scoring goals. He's one of those. Oh, look, there's where Nigel got egged one time, or milkshaked, whatever it was. And there's Posh George standing next to him. Okay. All right, what else have we got? Oh, Sky News. Sky News, I don't think they've actually reported it much, but is in the news at the moment, that Sky News are going to buy or have bought ITV News. All of ITV News, or their news outlets and their streaming services, news streaming services, have been bought by Sky News. That's sort of a big thing, relatively, kind of, for the landscape of the legacy corporate mainstream media. Sky News is owned by, what is it, NBC. It used to be Rupert Murdoch, didn't it? But it's now owned by NBC. So NBC, obviously American, will have loads more control over British news. I mean, that's a story. You know, I think mildly important. You know, Harry Kane taking that penalty. All right. England's Azteca epic. All right. They go, look, Nigel denies breaking rules after receiving financial benefits from convicted criminal. I mean, of course he would. Harry's coming over, but without Meghan. Sans Meghan. Sorry, was that an audible slurp? Sorry, I do try to keep it to a minimum. Harry and Meghan were set to come over. Sort of trying to come back into the fold of the royal family to some extent. But now the story is that Meghan's going to stay away. Some people really, really care about the royals, don't they? The royal stories, like every tiny little twist and turn of sort of the royal saga. I don't care that much at all, really. Maybe the royals that are in the direct line of succession. But Harry and Meghan and their children aren't, are they? So I find it even harder. If it's something about Wills, or Wills' son, or the king, I'll at least be mildly interested. Or if it's about the radiant Kate. But something about Harry, could not care less, and he's a horrible little rat of a man, isn't he? So, okay. Young royals, I was going to talk about Harry's son, the next king, well, not the next king, next in line after Wills, George. Is that George? Is he that tall now? Is that a growth spurt, if that's him? If that is him, I'm not sure. Yes, it is. Is that a growth spurt? He'll be king one day. Assuming he lives, there's no reason why he wouldn't live. But history is littered with people that were heirs to the throne that don't get there for one reason or another. Young royals, George, Charlotte and Louis embrace Mother Kate, I guess it is him, as she completes her Three Peaks challenge in heartwarming new photo to show the Princess of Wales being supported by her family at the finish line. Yeah, we reported that the other day. That's old news, isn't it? Wasn't that like quite a few days ago? Last week? Kate walked up Snowdon, Scarfell Pike and Ben Nevis in one day, or 24-hour period. All right. What else have we got off the Express? Got in? Oh, yeah, that was slightly thing. Jordan Henderson, one of our players, apparently, after the game, when they're celebrating, they run around the pitch and they go into the crowd and kiss their wives and girlfriends and they get flags and they run around the pitch and stuff. He, like, broke his leg in that. It broke his leg? Oh, well, got a freak injury. He injured himself in some sort of freak, I don't even know what the details are, some sort of freak incident where he's badly injured himself doing that, running around celebrating. It's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Imagine that's how your World Cup ends. Do you ever see people in UFC occasionally win a fight and their celebration's so over the top they injure themselves or knock themselves out? They try and do a backflip or something. Climb up on the top of the octagon and do a backflip. Knock themselves out. It happens. Things like that. Okay. Okay, The Sun. Have we got any slop of any interest in The Sun? Keep the sunrise. Taylor Swift's wedding. We don't care, do we? The Glorious Band, The Chosen Few. We don't care about Taylor Swift's wedding remotely, do we? All right. Let's just move on then. I need to finish relatively soon. So I'll start doing the history bit, if you don't mind, because it has come to my attention that increasingly the history section and the YouTube chats and Rumble Rants take almost as long as like the show itself sometimes. So let's just move on to... on this day in history, I like doing that bit. You guys seem to like doing that bit. On this day, down through the centuries, what happened of note? It is July the 6th we're talking about. Okay. In the year 1348, if anyone knows their history, at least in Britain, 1348 and 1449, the world changed profoundly, perhaps the most profound change that's ever happened in sort of a 1-2 year period in human civilization happened in that year, those years. The Black Death. It's earlier in Europe, in places like Italy and Central Europe and Eastern Europe. It was sort of more like 1437. But over 1348 and 49, something crazy, like a third, maybe as much as a half of all people died. Depending on where you are, some communities utterly wiped out. Some towns and villages, 99% or 100% death rate. The world before the Black Death and the world after are completely different. I've talked about it a number of times on Epoch. Number of times in passing, especially when I'm talking about that period. What was it? Edward III was king, wasn't he? Is that right? Yeah. The Black Death. Papal bull, you know, like a declaration, a papal bull, of Pope Clement VI, issued during the Black Death, states Jews are not to be blamed and encourages their protection. Why would Jews be blamed, though? Why would they? What's the problem? How could they be? How could Jews be responsible for it? Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you the history. But people at the time accused them of deliberately spreading it. That's the accusation. Deliberately, like, putting Black Death victims, throwing them down the well of another town or a village to poison that well, infect another place. Stuff like that. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just telling you what the history is. All right. On this day in 1775, Congress, the US Congress, issues the Declaration of the Causes and Necessity of Taking Up Arms Against the English. Look, 1775, so 1 year before the Declaration of Independence and full-blown hostilities break out. There had already been firing and fighting and things in places like Massachusetts. Written by Thomas Jefferson. Oh, no, it's not on there. It's on... on my history channel, History Bro, which is free. It's not behind a paywall. In conversation with Benjamin Boyce, the great Boycey. Long-form content. Me, talking like a couple of hours at least, talking all about the life and career of Thomas Jefferson. Quite a lot of detail there. Thomas Jefferson, one of the most important, I would argue, probably the most pivotal founding father, Thomas Jefferson. A year before it all basically kicks off, he's one of the people that penned this. A declaration by the representatives of the United Colonies of North America, now met in General Congress at Philadelphia, setting forth the causes and necessity of their taking up arms. There you go. So, it didn't just start on the 4th of July, 1776. It's been a long time in the... It's been brewing away, bubbling away for a long, long, long time. Many, many, many years, in fact. Right then. Well, just say about the 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. I know it's belated now. We didn't have a bow show on Saturday, did we? When it was your birthday, your 250th birthday. So belated. There you go. Happy birthday. Okay, on this day in 1785, US Congress unanimously resolves to name the US currency the dollar and adopts a decimal coinage. And that's quite long after independence and really winning the war of independence. The Revolutionary War, rather, whatever you want to call it. I mean, wasn't it until, if memory serves, and apologies if I get this ever so slightly wrong, I don't think it was until 1789, was it? 1787 or 1789, before the British finally sort of accepted, ratified and accepted and acknowledged the United States as a thing, and their last garrisons, I think in New York, I think even maybe on Manhattan Island, their last garrisons left. It was many, many years after 1776. I mean, the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence, lasted for a few years, but not that many years. Hostilities have been over 4 years already before Britain sort of formally accepted it. I mean, Yorktown was quite a few years before that, right? It's just interesting to note. I think. When you look at, the more you look at the details of the War of Independence, the more you're sort of shocked or surprised by the details of it. Oh, that happened in that order, was it? Or that didn't happen till then? Or that happened much earlier than I would have thought? Or there was a massive reversal, one way or another. And it just doesn't really play out the way you probably think it does. If you've got a low-resolution view of it, in loads and loads of different ways, it doesn't play out how you would suspect it would. It did. Okay, all right. What have we got here? On this day in 1885, Louis Pasteur successfully gives an anti-rabies vaccine to a nine-year-old Joseph Meister, saving his life. Yeah, Louis Pasteur, one of the all-time greats, right? Revolutionised our world in all sorts of ways. He was the master. He was one of the very early proponents of the germ theory of disease. But late 19th century, and there's still debate about mid-19th century, the debate about the germ theory of disease. Are germs real? Are microscopic things real? It's as late as that. I always find that remarkable when I'm reminded of that. In the American Civil War, the 1860s, it still hadn't really been adopted properly. Doctors still have dirty hands and stuff because a lot of people didn't believe in like bacteria and germs. Well, Louis Pasteur, obviously Frenchman, one of the greatest, earliest proponents of vaccines, various, all different types of vaccines, and that, yeah, the germ theory of disease is correct, basically. And how many millions of lives has he saved? Yeah? Millions and millions. He's made humanity a nicer thing, a better thing. In the days before that, how many children died in infancy of preventable diseases? A lot, that's how many. Even in the late 19th century, infant mortality was insanely higher compared to what it is today. How many people just got an infection of something or other, one way or another, and died of it because they had no concept of the germ theory of disease? You have to keep a wound clean. All that sort of stuff. Louis Pasteur is responsible for saving millions and millions and millions of lives. a remarkable thing. Okay. On this day, 1923, the Central Executive Committee of the Soviet Union accepts the Treaty of Union signed in Moscow in December 1922, and the Russian Empire, the Tsarist Russian Empire, becomes the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Yeah, turning point in history, isn't it? I mean, the Bolshevik Revolution is in October, November, depending on which calendar you go by. Is it back in 1917? But nonetheless, it's sort of formally sort of all ratified and legally done. There's the document there. One of the more important documents. Of course, it was only ever, the Soviet project was only ever an experiment, really. And it ended in tears, didn't it? Why? Because leftist economic theory is nonsense and never ever works and always, always ends in abject failure. That's all leftist economic theory, by the way. Not just the communist model, the Russian Soviet communist model. All the models. On this day, 1967, Nigerian civil war erupts as Nigeria forces invade the secessionist state of Biafra. Oh, well. On this day in 1970, California passes the first no-fault divorce law in the United States. Okay. Does it? Okay. Fine. All right. Fair enough. All right. That's it. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Should we do that? Will Global Church History be in at number one? First name Global, middle name Church, surname History. That's his name. Mr. Church History, double-barreled second name. Mr. Church History, is he in at number one? Yes, he is. It's a good day. Harry, if you get rid of that for us. There you go, cheers. Right, Global Church History usually gives us two facts, doesn't he? Usually really good ones as well. Okay, what have we got here? In at number one, Global Church History says, on this day in 640 AD, the Muslims took the Egyptian city of Heliopolis, turning the tide in the Muslims' favour. Yeah, that's interesting to note, isn't it? 460 AD, very soon after the death of Muhammad himself. Very soon. Straight away, like he's the next generation, isn't it? So that's the thing to note. If you ever look at a map, if you ever seen a time-lapse map of how empires expand and shrink over time, like you look at how the Roman Empire expanded and then shrunk and stuff, Alexander's Empire, the British Empire, look at the Muslim one, basically expanding out from sort of Mecca and Medina in the Arabian Peninsula, and then right at the beginning of it, the first two, three, four generations after Muhammad's life, boom, massive explosion, massive. Well, right away, they're taking Egypt, Heliopolis, Egypt. Conquered Egypt, the breadbasket of sort of the Near East. It wasn't actually the pharaohs. They didn't have pharaohs by that point. It's Roman controlled. Also Eastern Roman. Byzantine controlled. The Eastern Roman Empire. The thing that hasn't been lost on a lot of historians is that the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, was a very, very, very low ebb at that point in history. Very, very, very weak. And so it's sort of perfect set of conditions, a perfect storm for another big invading army to run amok. And after they'd taken Egypt, they could sweep across most of North Africa relatively easily. All the way up to sort of modern-day Morocco and stuff. And then, well, it's just a short hop across the Straits of Gibraltar, isn't it? And then you're into Spain, you're into Europe. It took them a long time, another 800-odd years or so, wasn't it? 900-odd years before they could actually take Constantinople itself. Anyway, all right, there you go. The Muslim expansion in the generations after Muhammad himself. Interesting. And the second one you've got here is, in 1189, Richard the Lionheart was crowned. Oh, the Coeur de Lion. Do you think behind the paywall on my history thing show, Bodades at Epochs, do consider signing up on loadseaters.com as little as £5 a month for a tier membership? Do you think I've got long-form content, multiple parts, talking about the life and career of Richard the Lionheart, Richard the First, Richard Plantagenet, the Coeur de Lion, Richard the Lionhearted? Oh yeah, you bet your sweet ass it's there. Sometimes in conversation with Mr. Carl Benjamin. Oh yeah, we did, I think, there was at least a three-part series all about Richard. And I think in passing, I've talked about him a number of other times. So I've done content on John, his younger brother, content on his father, Henry II, content on Eleanor of Aquitaine, his mother, content on Thomas Becket, the troublesome monk. Talk all about Richard and Umber. We've got a great deal of time. If you're interested in that, if you want to hear me talking for hours about Richard, it's there. Okay, and on this day in 1189, he was crowned. Okay, thanks, Global Church History. Appreciate it, buddy. Cheers. All right, the next one is Dragon Lady Chris is now a monthly supporter. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's kind. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Welcome aboard. You're in the inner sanctum of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. There's an inner sort of cadre of what did Alexander call his like inner sanctum of companions? And the inner sanctum of companions. Well done, Dragon Lady Chris. Brilliant. Thank you. And then you send a super chat which says, Barack Obama has been good friends with Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, liberal terrorists, for decades. I bet the BBC has no problem with that. Those names don't really ring much of a bell to me. Perhaps I've heard the name Bill Ayers before. I don't know Bernadette Dorn. I don't even know how you pronounce it. I'll have to look that up. It's a little bit of a blind spot for me. Interesting. I will look that up. Should know more about that, I suppose, then. Yeah, the BBC will have no problem with that. Right, well. Yeah, the way the BBC reports on... has always, for decades and decades and decades, be extremely lenient or just omit to talk about ever leftist terrorists. Of course, the tiniest amount of anything on the other side of the aisle, it's the worst thing ever. Yeah, that's the way the BBC have always operated. Fallen Firebird says, I haven't been able to do much exercise at all for months due to a back neck injury. Oh, sorry to hear that. I've got a little bit of a weak lower back sometimes, and it's no joke. Just a tiny bit of it. It's just musky, though. It's not my actual spine, but having a bad back or neck is no joke. Sorry to hear that. But you say, but I haven't become a fat, obese, house harlequin baron because I don't gorge myself like a pig. Really isn't hard. Yeah. Little bit of tough love for fatties, I think. Unless you've got a genuine thing, like if you've got a thyroid problem or you've got a genuine hormone imbalance, or there's something actually physiologically wrong with you, making you obese. Those people get a pass. Sure, of course they do. If you're just eating too much cake, though, I haven't really got much sympathy. I myself are putting on a bit of weight, tiny bit of weight, in the last few years. Completely my fault. I'm not going to start asking to get my stomach stapled. I'm not going to start taking pills. I just need to stop eating less junk. Or stop eating less in general, really. Do a bit of cardio. Not rocket science. But a lot of people, they'll do anything other than a bit of cardio. And they'll do anything other than stop cramming their face with cake. All right. What have we got here? Oh, Human17 is now a monthly supporter. Oh, thank you, sir. Welcome aboard. In the inner sanctum of companions. Lovely, great. Thank you. Pigdog5150 says, Elizabeth II, the silent queen, yeah, I called her Elizabeth the absent, said and did nothing while hundreds of thousands of her girls were raped over 70 years. Yeah. She was particularly silent about that. Said nothing as her country was invaded. Yeah, not a dicky bird. Her son, the traitor king? ? Stuff the royals, you say. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it is their constitutional role at this point to not get involved in government. But they can and do still make political statements, don't they? Don't they? And not a word about that. I never heard a word from Elizabeth II or Charles III. Never heard a word from them about the industrial levels of rape that have gone on in this country against specifically white English girls at the hands of largely Pakistani Muslims. Not a word. If that's not a dereliction of duty, I don't know what is. At least 250,000. Probably way more, probably like 1,000,000. Who knows? certainly in the hundreds of thousands, and not a word. What is that? What kind of filth? Okay, and the last Rumble Rant for today, Dragon Lady Chris says, Ayers and Dawn, Ayers' wife, were the leaders of the Weather Underground. Oh, okay, that's them, right. Okay, I know about the Weather Underground, okay. Okay, yeah, the Weather Underground, leftist terrorists, truly, yeah. Oh, that's who they were, okay. I'd forgotten. That was their names. Fair enough, and you're saying Obama has been friends with them for decades, is that right? Is that what you said? Obama has been good friends with them for decades, oh. It's not surprising, is it, in a way? I didn't know that, but it's not surprising. I mean, I wonder how close of a friend he was. It's like the way someone like George Galloway or Jeremy Corbyn is friends, quote-unquote friends, with the IRA, Hamas, whatever. Anyone that undermines the West and our country, they'll be friends with them. Fifth columnists, enemies of the state and the people. Obama. What a wrong turn that was. Although, do you remember when he first ran, it was against, who was it against? It was against that guy that's dead now. Oh God, what was his name? I can't remember. Someone in the chat. Harry, put the chat up for me. Someone in the chat. Who did Obama run against the first time? What was his name? It's on the tip of my tongue. Very, very famous. Very, very famous politician. He was in a concentration, oh, not concentration camp, sorry, a prisoner of war camp in Vietnam. No, not Bush. God, it's embarrassing. I can't remember his name. He's really, really... Anyway, I'll just move on, shall I? McCain, there we go. Well done. A gold star to Angelic Detective 86. John McCain, yeah, right. John McCain was never going to beat Obama, was he? John McCain, how could I forget John McCain? The titan of US political history. Yeah, John McCain. Obama was probably never going to lose to McCain, was he? It was like a, if anyone remember it, it was like a tidal wave of optimism, wasn't it, Obama? Change is coming. It was like when they let Nelson Mandela finally run for president. It was like he would get the ethnic vote, the black vote, like nearly 100%. He sort of can't lose. Like, this is our first chance to have a black man as president. So they all vote along racial, all vote along racial and ethnic lines, tribal lines. Of course they do. McCain was never going to beat Obama. Unless, in hindsight now, doesn't it? Looks like terrible wrong turn for US politics. I blame Obama. He's gay in hell. All right. Let's do the YouTube super chats. Principled Uncertainty says, the establishment had decided to use Farage, but now they see light at the end of the tunnel with Burnham. So now they are using the scandal to remove him from the board. It's his own fault, in my opinion. Could well be. I mean, well, it could well be. It's an interesting take that they would... They felt it was in their interests at some point to promote Farage, and now they've decided, who's they? The cabal of people that actually run the world. I don't know. I don't believe that, by the way. I've said that a number of times. There isn't one cabal, is there? Anyway, perhaps the most powerful ones in the West, at least, what have decided the establishment, the blob, the unelected deep state, whatever it is, you know. They've decided they don't want or need Farage anymore, so they're going to try and scandal him into oblivion. Yeah, maybe. They can sort of ruin anyone they want if they try hard enough, usually, can't they? Okay, Emily for Restore says, Baroness Lawrence still not happy, nor her alma mater, Greenwich Uni, which is now organising to decolonise and diversify all blue light services. Yeah, it will never be enough. Until our society is completely crime-ridden, until the ability for the police to do anything is completely and utterly destroyed, and our country becomes as lawless as somewhere like South Africa. Someone like Baroness Lawrence won't be happy. Will never be happy. She hates us. Of course she does. Daniel D. King says, I got the name wrong the other day. Based King George the Seventh, please. Right. Was that Will's son, George? He'll go on to be George the Seventh. Yeah. Because George the Sixth was the Queen's father, wasn't it? The one with the stutter. So the next one, he'll be George the Seventh. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't look like Will's is going to be... Will be William the Fifth, won't he? Yeah, he'll be William the Fifth. He doesn't look like he's going to be based in any way, shape or form, does he? He's pretty woke, isn't he? Like his father, basically. So the hope is Gen Alpha George the Seventh. Little Georgie. Or not so little now. He's as tall as Kate, wasn't he? Okay. Robbia. I just call Robbia. Says, hey, Abo. Hiya. Love the show. Oh, thanks. Cheers. Thank you. I was a libtard until I got red-pilled hard after my mum showed me the trigonometry interview with Tommy Robinson back in August last year. You are my fave. And then a smiley face thing. Oh, thank you. That's very kind. That's very kind. Yeah, we need something a little bit harder line than the trigonometry chaps and Tommy. In my opinion. It's a bit too Civ Natchery, a bit too milquetoast. It doesn't actually save us from demographic destruction. The sort of things that trigonometry and Tommy talk about still lead to us becoming a hated and despised and marginalised minority in our own ancestral homeland, doesn't it? We need something a bit better than that, in my opinion. Okay, Tatum2733 says, did you see how lame the US 250 fare was? Ashamed! Exclamation mark. I didn't see that. Over the weekend, from Friday evening until Sunday afternoon, I was completely off the internet. I like to do that a bit more these days. At least take the Saturday or a big chunk of the weekend, just detox from Twitter entirely, detox from the news cycle entirely. If you do it 24/7 for week after week after week, it wears you down. So I didn't see any of that, but I'm afraid, basically. Oh, look, some up today, though. But I didn't see it. You're saying it was lame and you're ashamed of it. Was it that bad? I'll look at it today. Was it that bad? Okay. All right. Well, sorry to hear that. Okay. And the last two we've got here. Savrix. Somebody just called Savrix. Says, the guilt and compassion part of wokeness acts as a bypass mechanism over someone's self-preservation. It all increases the probability of negative tension. Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. No, the guilt and compassion part is weaponized against us. You're a good person, aren't you? You don't want bad things to happen to innocent people, do you? You've got compassion in your heart, don't you? And then weaponize that to make you a minority in your own ancestral homeland and ultimately wiped out. How cynical. How sickening. You'll weaponize your own good nature against you. Your own ability to empathize with others. That's weaponized against you. The cynicism of that turns my stomach. You're quite right, Savrix. Absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. Charms65, hello, sir. He's a based Welshman, met him up in Makerfield. Brilliant chap. How are you? You said, loved your Churchill stuff yesterday afternoon. Or for anyone who doesn't know, on go to Disdain Cam, Harry. On my other channel with Nate, Mr. H Reviews, called State of Politics. State of Politics. I released a video talking about the 1945 general election, where Churchill lost straight after World War II, lost the election to Clement Attlee and Labour. It's a good video, I think. It's you know, it's only 15-odd minutes, 16-odd minutes long. Check it out. It was an absolute turning point in British history, political history. A pivotal moment. That 1945 election. Some elections are much more pivotal than others. That was a doozy. Anyway, check that out in State of Politics. State of Politics. Charms says, he loved my Churchill stuff yesterday afternoon. In my town in 1926, the whole town went to jail for fighting police and the colliery closed. Oh, in Wales, it would be. The whole town went to jail for fighting the police. I mean, a bit based. And they closed the mine. Oh, God. Where was that? I don't need, like, your exact address. I don't need a postcode. I don't want you to dox yourself. Feel free just not to reply, but where was that? I'd be interested to know. Maybe DM me or something. Okay, all right. Well, that's the last one. That's the show. It's good to finish a little bit early today, if you don't mind. It's already 4 minutes past nine in the AM, British Summer Time, and it is Monday the 6th of July in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, the very best among us, the best people on earth, basically. Do like the stream. I should have said that earlier. Do press like on the stream. Subscribe to Podcast of Lotus Eaters channel if you haven't already. Get the bell on. All right, that's the show. Thank you for joining me. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem. Seize the day. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Far more valuable than any gold or gems or properties or anything you will ever own. You've got a finite amount of time on this earth. You won't have this day ever again. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's probably later than you think. If you can, do something valuable with your time. Okay, I don't want to get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning then, people. Take care.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.